Well, praise Jesus. I'm glad to see y'all in church this morning. Look at the person beside you and say, way to go. Made it to church. Praise God. Well, get your Bibles out this morning. Oh, come on, church. You can do better than that. You ought to be excited about the Word of God. So get your Bibles out. There you go. And go to the book of Romans chapter 14 this morning. Now, some of you may say that I'm kind of rambling this morning, and I might be, because I got a whole lot I want to say in the next few weeks, months, you know, going on into the New Year's. I decided I'm not going to wait till January to start the new message for the year. I'm starting now, because I got so much to say, and I got to tell you some stories this morning, tell you some things this morning so you can kind of understand where I'm coming from. Some of you know me. Some of you know me for years and years, you know, and others of you maybe just saw me for the first time this morning. But, you know, I've pastored Living Waters Church. My wife and I and my family has been here for 20 years and just celebrated the actually completing 20 years here in November. And in 20 years, it's been kind of funny because I haven't been to another church in 20 years. I mean, go figure. All right? I've gone and preached in other churches, preached for Sister Annie, preach here and there. But to just see what's going on in the body of Christ, I have not seen it in 20 years. So I started back in June, and Dwayne and Tracy agreed to help us, and that would give me Sundays off so that I could go out and find out what's going on in the world. And I know some of y'all thought, well, Pastor, he's shopping for another church. And, you know, I just let you think that because it don't make me any difference. I just want to see how worried y'all get. But I want to know, you see, because I'm not about playing church. I'll be honest with y'all. I don't want to play church, right? I don't want to. You think about it. The Pharisees were having church in their own religious ways while Jesus was standing outside, the Son of God, standing outside, and he was preaching and telling people truth, and they were all inside their church doing their church service and missed Jesus standing outside, missed Jesus in their lives. Y'all with me? And finally came against him, turned against him. And I don't want to be like that. I don't want to get into a rut as a church. I would rather shut the doors on this sucker than I would ever want to damage anybody's soul. And I don't want to just keep doing the same thing over because that's what everybody else has done, because I want to tell y'all something. God, the Bible says God is a God who does not change. Okay? But that doesn't mean he keeps doing the same thing all the time. It means he's not changing from the truth of who he's always been. The operation and the manifestation and the ways of doing things, God does change. You can go through church history. You can look at all the things that have gone on. You can go back all the way to the times of the Reformation and the starting of the evangelical church, which, you know, we're a part of, and all these things going on. God has things. When he wants things to happen in the world, he shakes it up. Hello? So I wanted to go out and I wanted to go see. So I went out and I visited churches. Okay, sometimes I went like this. Sometimes I'd been wearing a pair of pants for about 4 days, you know, and got the worst shirt I had. I rode my Harley over to the church, walked in, didn't look friendly. That was the easy part. Just kind of walked in there to see how people would treat me, what would happen, you know, and so I've just been out just wrecking havoc, just finding all kinds of things. And I want to tell y'all, you know, I mean, I got a lot of stories, but to, you know, cut to the chase, I was shocked. But I want to tell you something. God spoke to me and I learned some things. All right? I learned some things. I found churches that I could not walk in the front door. I couldn't go in there. As I went to the door, I could not go into the door. I could not force myself to walk in the doors of the church. The feeling I had inside of my spirit was so grieved, I couldn't go in the door of the church. I'd get right up to it, and I said, oh, my God, I can't go in there. I had other places that I went to, and it was a great church service, and the Spirit of God was there. Okay? So I'm not putting it all down. I'm just saying, I just learned some stuff. But I want to tell you something. What I came out with was simply this. If I wasn't a Christian, if I didn't know Jesus, all right, I wouldn't go to church. I'd have no reason to. I'd have no call to. I'd have no reason on a Sunday morning to go into the doors of a church. I'd rather go shop at Gibson's. It's a tough one right there, shopping at Gibson's and going to church. It's a tough one. I'm serious. There was nothing in me to compel me to walk in the doors of a church. So the Lord starts speaking to me, and he used this whole thing. He kind of trapped me. He worked all this around and some things that I never expected. And the bottom line is when it's the short of it is the only way I would have gone to a church as being a non-Christian would have gone to a church if a friend would have taken me. There's no way I'd walk on the doors. There's nothing that appeals me to drive down the road and say, huh, I just wonder what's in that building. I think I want to stop and see. Nothing. All right? The only way a person is going to come to church. So let's just back up a minute. So we Christians are sitting around praying all the time, oh God, send revival, because we're thinking in our mind that God's going to do like this turn on the light deal. And then, boom, everybody's just going to want to go to church, and it's going to pile on the doors of the church. And I want to tell you something. Bar a natural catastrophe or a man-made catastrophe, ain't nobody going to walk in the doors of the church. As long as electricity's on, still pumping gas, still got a job, you know, we'll make it through the rough times of government and this and that and the other. But as long as things are still functioning, there ain't nobody going to just come up there because they're not in a position to desire or hunger for God because they don't know God. All right? I can tell y'all there is some great food out there in life that is delicious that you've never tasted, that you'd love it if you ever eat it, but you don't know it's there. Because you just eat what you know. Like, I'm the kind of guy, I can eat enchiladas 7 days a week. All meals. I don't know what's about it. I can eat enchilada. I can eat, and I don't even care if it's enchiladas, enchilada casserole, whatever. I mean, my diet varies from tacos and then take the taco meat and turn it into enchiladas, right? You know, and I work it all like that because I mean, that's just me. That's what I love. That's the kind of diet I'm not out for other things, right? I guess that's why I look like I do, but I mean, hey, I enjoy it and I like it. Are y'all following me here? But there's some other stuff out there that's great, but I don't even know it exists. But you know what? I'm not hungering for it. I'm not on a quest to find some great new food. A person that doesn't go to church, that doesn't know Jesus, isn't any, if he's not hungering for God, if he's not in a bind, he's not in a trouble, he's not in some sort of something in his life, he's not going to turn to God. He's going to turn to the world and the desires of the flesh to satisfy his needs. He's going to go get the 57 flavors of chocolate ice cream. Okay? So it made me start to wake up and think, oh man, wait a minute. We have got church all backwards here. We got people going to church praying for revival. Some churches aren't even praying for revival. Just like we painted the building, put it up, and then expect everybody to come in. Well, ain't nobody going to come in because they don't want what we're serving. These are what God's been speaking to me. Now, I want to say this. I know you can say, well, Pastor, you're just a little biased in this situation, but I want you to know, I feel after going and being and viewing what I did, man, we got the best thing going on right here. I want to tell y'all something. I am proud of y'all as members of the body of Christ and who love Jesus. I am proud of you guys. Your friendliness, your openness, the amount of friends and people that y'all do bring to church and the things that you're doing, we've got a lot of it done right just out of us being who we are. Okay? But I believe God's given us some direction. I believe God's given the church here, us. I don't know what everybody else is going to do, but I believe us. I believe God's speaking to me and giving me some direction for the church and what we need to do so that we can be as effective as we can. Now, that scripture I told you to turn to in Romans chapter 14, I believe is what I said, didn't I? Yeah, Romans 14, look at verse 7. It says, "For none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or we die, we're the Lord's." Listen to me, folks. When Jesus came into my life, when I was the most distraught in life, the reason why I sought God was because I was distraught. And when I was in my distress and in my time of asking if God was really real and willing to end my life because I was sick of it, Jesus came into my life, and that day, that moment, that thing, that second that I was born again in that barn, when I cried out and said, "Jesus, if you're really real, I want to know you," that moment has never changed in my life. Anybody that got saved and you're different now than you were when you got saved, something happened. You lost the juice, because I'm telling you, the empowerment of knowing that I was lost and now I'm found, that I did not have a relationship with Jesus and now I do, has changed my life forever. It altered my whole course. It shifted my whole life to keep going to where I'm going. And I know that it's real. And you can't tell me it's not. I know it's real. And I know that one day, as sure as we're sitting here looking at each other, you and I are going to do what it says here. "For to this end, Christ died and arose, and he lives again, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." We're all going to come to that day that you have to go and you have to answer. Only you. Your mama's not going to stand with you. Your daddy's not going to stand with you. You have to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for your life. It's coming. It's real. It's going to happen. You're going to have to do it. You're not going to be able to dodge into the back. You're not going to be able to hide behind the crowd. You're not going to be able to say, "Well, but, Pastor," no, don't be pointing at me. You own your own. Don't shove me up in front and be your spokesperson. You. Look at the person beside you and say, "You." So I live with this reality that, hey, wait a minute, Jesus has really came into my life and he saved me. He bought me with a price. Come on now. He paid a price for me. I'm a valuable possession. Woo, I'm valuable. How valuable am I? It took the Son of God to redeem me. And you. I'm a valuable possession. I've been bought with a price. But because of the price that was paid for me, there's something that I've got to do, and that's my service to the Lord. Can't get away from it. Listen to me, church. I've said this for 20 years, and I don't think it's any new revelation to y'all. I don't want to pastor the church. Why? Why do I want the responsibility? Well, why not me go say, "Well, I didn't, you know, it's kind of rainy today. I might get my new boots muddy. I don't want to go to church this morning." I don't get that option in life. Okay? I'd do it because Jesus asked me to do it. If there was a way to get out of it, I'd get out of it. But I can't, because he's got the finger on me. And so I submit to the Lord and say, "Jesus, I love you. You saved me. You bought me the price. It's what I got to do. I got to do it." Okay? You have a price that was paid for you too. And you have a responsibility, each and every one of us. And when you get to heaven, I don't believe that the question that will be asked you when you have to give an account of yourself to Jesus is going to be, "How was your church attendance?" Okay? I don't believe that's going to be the question that's going to be asked you. I believe the question that's going to be asked you in the accountability to Jesus is, "How did you tell others about me? How well did you do that? How well did you do that?" And see, in my investigation of going around to churches, it just became this huge reality to me that no one's going to walk in the doors of a church, lest somebody bring them. And the only person that's going to bring them is going to be somebody that knows them. And that person that knows them would be their friend or their acquaintance or their associate. And then that person that brings them, the friend, would have to be living a life in such a way that the other person thought they were being benefited. Hello? There's no really no other way. So what I want to do in this next year, and I'm not through here by any means. I've got tons more here. What I want to do in this next year is to help you become everything you can be for Jesus, so that as a church, a gathering of believers here, we can be as effective as we can possibly be. Because whether you realize it or not, you are very important people. You have gifts and you have callings on the inside of you, each and every one of you. More than likely, not to the pulpit ministry, but to the friends and the people and the associates that you know, to have ways that you can learn and grow to help them come to know Jesus. I've really got it real simple. I got it divided up into three categories. You're one of three. Okay? We'll get into all that stuff later. But you have gifts and callings on the inside of you. You're very important people. You're people of significance. Each and every one of you are. You know how I know that? You know how I know that? Because the Bible says so. It says that Jesus died for you. He paid a price for you. You see, a lot of times we forget, because what we want to do is we think everything has to do with the pastor or the evangelist or the teacher, whatever. They're the ones that has it. But you got to understand, your friends, your associates, the people that you're around, they're looking at you. And if they see something in your life, then I want to tell you something, then they're going to want it. Hey guys, how many of y'all hunting could just say to your buddies, man, I got a new rifle. That is the best caliber. It is a new caliber, but it is the best caliber I've ever seen. My Lord, I killed a deer at 650 yards. One-handed. Everybody around you that's your friend, your associate, would be saying, well, what was it? What caliber was it? And they'd be going and looking and investigating because they would want one too. Hello? See Mr. Waltz over there. I had one of my workers was down there and he was talking about wanting a knife. And I said, you want a knife? You want a hunting knife? Ain't no hunting knife made better in the world than Mr. Waltz over there. He'll make you a hunting knife. What? I said, oh, yeah, have it up there. I said, how much is it? And I told him. He said, when that? That's pretty. Got this guy all excited. Every day at work, he'd ask me, now, when's that? When's the fair up there in Utopia? Because I want to go up there if he's going to be selling knives. And I mean, every day he asked me. Sure enough, man, he got him a knife, went out, came back the next day, was telling me. He said, oh, my gosh, I had to go kill a hog just cut up with this knife. He's so excited about that knife. Well, what did I do? I influenced him, right? I pulled one out that I had and said, well, this is what he makes. And he was like, wow, I want one of those. Well, see, it's the same way about Jesus. When somebody looks in your life and says, really, you prayed and God answered your prayer? Well, I never did even know how to pray. And you help that person go on. That's your significance. That's your importance. That's what's going to bring joy and peace to your life, because you help that person know about Jesus. And y'all don't really realize how many people you have influenced in life. And you will really never know the full effect until you get to heaven. I get blown away every now and then by a person comes up to me and said, man, I heard you on the radio or whatever, your messages really have helped me in my life and whatever. I'm like, really? You listened? I mean, it's just like, because I'm just like, well, who'd want to listen to me on the radio? Because it's the same kind of a concept. You know, I'm not a country band or whatever. You have to be hungry to listen to me. You're not just going to want to, well, I guess some people could do it mockingly and say, well, listen to this idiot, you know. But, and so I'm always like, really? You were listening to me? And they said, that message really changed my life and helped me. And I'm like, wow, it worked. And it blows me away that, it worked. And it kind of brings me back into the reality of, wow, there's so much more to the ministry. It's not just standing behind this pulpit. It's not just singing and praising worship. There's so much more to ministry than what you see happen on Sunday morning. And that's what changes lives, and that's what makes things effective. That's what touches people. Because I'm telling you, people are not going to come. Okay? They're not going to come. They're not going to just walk in the doors of the church. Now, World War III takes place and bombs are blowing up everywhere and something like this happens. Oh, yeah, they're going to come to the doors of the church. But bar that happening, and, you know, I hope it doesn't. We have a work to do. We have a job to do. And so as a church, I want to tell you something. Y'all have done great. Don't sit here under condemnation. Do not be condemned. Be blessed. Because I'm telling you, I've seen it with my own eyes. It's a great, you've done a great thing. You've done a great job. I mean, children are being blessed in Guatemala, being rescued off the streets. Children are being blessed and touched all out through Mexico. Churches are preaching the gospel all through Mexico. You know, I don't make a lot of hoopla about everything that goes on, but I'm telling you, folks, there are churches that exist in Mexico because of what Living Waters does. There are preachers that are being supported. Motorcycles, bicycles, things being bought to get people to go up. Printed material going out all the time. People are getting saved, touched, healed, blessed because of what we do here as a church. Besides the fact of everything going on just here. Okay? Great things are going on. So, I want to give you some things. I want to give you seven things you can write down. And I want to be, I'm being prophetic about this. I'm saying this is what's going to happen in 2012. 13, 14, wherever we are. I looked down and saw 12 on here, and that's what came out. I'm a man of the past. This next year. I'm going to call this the final church. All right? I'm not saying the world's coming to an end, but I believe we're in a literally a dispensation of God that is going to take us to Jesus coming back. It may take 500 years, but I believe we've taken a step into a new place. The first thing that's going to happen is, and you're going to see happen around this church, is there's going to be a shift in church dynamics. The way that we've always seen church function is going to change. Okay? You say, well, what exactly are you going to do or what's going to happen? I can't tell you everything because I don't really know everything. I just know that the body of Christ is going to become more active. And the day that I look forward to is the day when nobody can figure out who's the pastor of the church. That's the day I look forward to. And that's what will happen. The second thing that's going to happen is there's going to be an increase in the boldness of the believers. I believe that God is going to, as you begin to yield to the Spirit of God, He's going to place inside of you a supernatural boldness to just be able to just tell people the truth. To be able to stand up for your faith. To be able to just in the world to say, look, I am a Christian. I love Jesus with all of my heart, and this is who I am, and what are you going to do about it? Okay? I believe there's going to be an increase in power. I have only experienced this really a few times in my life, but I remember standing. I don't want to take all our time up this morning and just telling stories because I'm going to be going on this a lot. But I remember I was in Bulgaria years ago, actually in the Bulgarian-Romanian border, and I remember this church, and I was trying to preach, and I was into the Billy Graham mode. Okay, I was wanting to see huge salvations of people, and I was in this small church full of gypsies, and The translation was horrible because I had to speak in English. It would translate to Bulgarian. The Bulgarians then had to speak in Romanian. And the Romanian guy spoke to the people in the gypsy dialect. So, I mean, it was like ridiculous. Good morning. How are you? Everybody's like, hi. So I'm like, this is crazy, you know. Jesus loves you. And I'm like, I mean, it was a joke. I mean, I literally started laughing. I'm like, here I am, traveled all the way around the world, come to this place thinking, you know, the flaming evangelist is in town, and I can't even preach because nobody can understand what I'm saying. And I was so disappointed, and I was just like, y'all are probably just saying whatever you want to anyway. You know, by the time it gets down through four of us, how do I even know it's right? So I just kind of, I actually literally told my interpreter, just tell them whatever you want to. And he said, what? You're the preacher. I said, you really think this is getting through? Oh, it is. And so I'm preaching. These people are stones. This pulpit has more expression. And I'm like, this is crazy. And I'm just like so discouraged. I'm just like, Lord, this is, you know, this is not what I was expecting. This is not what I thought. What in the world? And so I said, well, okay, I tell you what, forget preaching. We're not getting anywhere in this. Let's just pray for the sick. So I said, just tell them, everybody that's sick, just come on up. I won't pray for it. God's going to do a miracle. He's going to heal you today, you know, whatever. I'm like, at least I can just pray. Pray in tongues over them or something. Man, it ain't doing any good. It's everybody's just praying in tongues around here. I can't understand nothing, but nobody's saying. So I'm like, okay. So I'm all, you know, like I said, okay, this will work. This is good. This is, I'll pray for somebody. You know, I'm hoping for somebody like with a runny nose or something like that, you know. You know, start off simple, work up to the tough stuff. The first person they stand before me is a woman who is totally and completely blind with nothing but white eyeballs. So I'm just like, oh God. And so I said, I did the you know how Jesus in the when you read several times and he talked to the blind people, says, what do you want? You know? And I thought, well, that sounds, yeah, I want to try that. Maybe she's just needing some money, you know? So I said, what does she want? And the interpreter looked at me just like I was an idiot. He says, she's blind. I said, I know. I just didn't want to look. I couldn't even look. I was like, I know she's blind, but Lord God, you know? And so I'll never forget it, man. Never forget all my life. And so I'm standing there. And I'm thinking, oh, this is horrible. Lord, just get me out of here, you know? I mean, is there, translate me to another place. And so I reach up, and what's funny about this is that there's another element of the story. The president of the Bible school was with me, and he's over there because they had given me chocolate, boxes of chocolates as a gift, and he's eating the chocolate laughing at me. So he's sitting over the chair, eating my chocolate, laughing at me. Because I've got myself worked into this situation. So I'll never forget it. I couldn't even look. I just stole my faith right of me to look in her face. And I just put my hand up on top of her head. And I just closed my eyes. And I said, Jesus. Seriously, I said it just like that. It was not like, in the name of Jesus. No, there's no power behind it. It's like, Jesus. And I was about to say, can you help me? Because I couldn't understand. Nobody could understand except my interpreter. You know, he wouldn't pay any attention. So I'm like, I was about to say, oh, God, you know, just Jesus, can you help me? And I said, Jesus. And the next thing I know, the woman screams and runs out of the church. I mean, literally, can you imagine this? Now, I mean, she just screamed and she's run out of the church. All I said was Jesus. And I'm like, what in the Sam Hill, you know? So I'm like, okay, let's get this over, you know? I mean, let's just get over and get out of town. Hurry, get the car warmed up so we can get out of town. They're going to stone us, you know? And so the next person was, they bring me about a 10-year-old girl who's got a leg that's about 8 inches shorter than the other one. I'm like, Lord, can we? I mean, can it get worse? Where's the leper? You know, where's the leper going to come up next? I mean, this is ridiculous, Lord. So I told the little girl, sit down in a chair. I pulled up her legs, looked at both of them, said, oh, Jesus. Seriously, I said, Jesus. The woman jerks the lady right out of the chair, jerks the little girl right out of the chair right in front of me, runs out of the church. I'm like, oh, Lord. I mean, I'm shaking. I'm totally in disarray of what in God's name is taking place in here. I mean, you're in a foreign country. You don't speak the language. We're all out there, you know, and these people are all gypsies, and they tell you the gypsies will kill you and steal everything you got. You know, and I'm like, great. I mean, these are do-rag wearing gypsies. I mean, these are the real deal. So anyway, a few other people had less severe things, prayed for them. By this time, I'm just like, okay, got the car going. Can we just run to it? Pastor comes up, gets him by the coat, says, come, we've got to go to the river. What are we going to go to the river for? We've got to baptize. I said, I ain't baptized. We didn't get anybody saved this morning. You know, well, these are people who got saved the week before, and they want you to baptize. I said, I ain't going in the river. River got ice in it. So we go to the river. I end up having to go to the river. The guy's still eating my chocolates, laughing at me as I have to go to the river. Now I'm sopping wet. I'm cold. Totally and completely in disarray of what's going on. My faith is as small as it's ever been in life. And I walk over this ridge, getting back to the car, telling everybody, let's just get the heck out of here. I get to the car. I get up there to where the car was. There's this mass of people in the city square. A whole mass of people. And I said, what's going on over here? They said, well, let's go see. They take us down there. Blind lady standing there. She's gone to every house in town, told her now she could see. The little girl, the 8-inch short leg, was running around. They went to every household in town, told every sick person in town to come out, and I'm standing there saying, she really can see? That's the same lady I prayed for? She's got eyes? Holy cow! I'm dumbfounded. Really? You got eyes? I said, what happened? I tell the interpreter, ask her, what happened? The lady looked at me and said, when you prayed. I'm like, I didn't say anything but Jesus. And it was not even a Jesus of faith. It's just Jesus. Well, all I can say is I had enough wisdom at that point that the meeting was on. And I said, we'll pray for everybody. I started just praying. I said, well, this is as easy as it is. If all I have to do is say Jesus and they're healed, I mean, this is cool. Lady brought a little boy up. Legs were mush. I said, okay, it's no problem. In the name of Jesus, put the little boy down. He ran. All I'm saying is I have seen this a few times in my life that the power of God was in such a release because of the faith of the people that God moved in such a way that it was effortless. It was effortless. There was no working up. There was no, you know, Pentecostal working up, a real powerful spit flying prayer. Where you think it got to get loud enough and emotional enough that it really mounted more, you know? Go read the Bible. How did Jesus pray? Be healed. Eyes open. He didn't say nothing. But we got this all worked up in a religious thing. We really got to get it going. Oh, yeah. Make it real effective. And that's all, listen to me, that's all because of the lack of faith on our part. That we feel like we have to work something. I have seen it effortlessly. That's what I'm saying to you. I believe starting this next year, we're going to see an increase of power that you're going to see things happen effortlessly. You're just going to actually do what Jesus said do, but there's going to be something element, there's going to be a new element that God has thrown into the mix that changes things. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but it excites me because I'm tired of trying to build faith to have faith for other people who don't really want to believe anyway. But I just want the prayer line to just be people come up and you just say, oh, okay, you need that. Okay, in the name of Jesus, boom. Next, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Just walk down through the crowd of people and everybody gets healed and walks off. Glory to God, Jesus did it all. It wasn't that I, you know, prayed for 36 hours on a hardwood floor with beans scattered on it to torture myself as much as I could and filleted myself on the back and quoted every scripture I could possibly think of to work up a good prayer to come in here and pray. No, it was just the power of God released. I've seen it. I know it's possible. But there was an element, there was something about it that day at that town that I felt like I was in the book of Acts that made things, the faith of the people connected with the power of God and miracles took place. It had nothing to do with me. I was just the donkey that was there to bray, and that was about it. Because I'm telling you, folks, I had no faith. After the blind lady ran out screaming, I had no faith. Now, if I'd have known the blind lady, if I would have thought, I thought back about this and I said, huh, I didn't think that she ran out of the church. You know, that would have kind of been an indication that she saw. And I was like later thinking, huh, I didn't catch that one. You know. All right. The fourth thing that's going to happen is there's going to be an increase of joy. All right, I don't know about y'all, but I'm sick of all the discouragement. I'm sick of all the tell of woes. I'm sick of all the everything. I want some joy. And I really believe the Lord spoke this to me. The reason why we're going to have an increase of joy is because you're going to see Him moving. Nothing brings me greater joy than to see God moving in somebody's life and to see somebody excited about the things of God and to see somebody saying, oh man, this is really real. You know, this is great. Because it, you know, there's nothing greater than that. It's going to be an increase of joy. The fifth thing is it's going to be an understanding that's coming to the believers. In other words, the things that maybe you've wrestled with in life, say, man, I just don't understand what God's talking about here. I've read this in Scripture. I don't understand. I can't figure this out. I don't know. You're going to know. There's going to be an increase of your understanding of having a revelation of the workings of God and the things of God. The sixth thing is there's going to be an increase of the revelation of Jesus in the world. Okay? There's going to be an increase of the revelation of who Jesus really is in the world. And then the seventh thing is that the world's going to be open to receive it. Okay, now, I can't exactly tell y'all how all of that is going to happen, because I don't know. I just know those are the seven things He spoke to me and says is going to happen. How's each one going to come into effect? I don't know, but I guarantee I'll stand in heaven and I'll tell you those seven things did come to pass. How, what events, what? There's going to be some world events that take place that make these things happen. Now, if you're a doomsdayist, then you say, hey, world's coming to an end. You know, and so that's what's, you know, it's going to get really bad times. Everything's going to get hard. People are going to turn to God. Maybe. All right? I don't know. I'm not going to say that. It looks like that sometimes. It looks like sometimes we're just on the brink and that just one little collapse of something could make that happen. All right? But then I go back to the scripture where the Bible says that when Jesus comes back, and He's talking about He's going to come back like in the days of Noah. And in the days of Noah, they were partying down. They were eating, drinking. They were marrying and being married. And everything was good. They were just laughing at Noah and his big boat. There was nothing really bad going on. They were just laughing at Noah until the rain came. All right? I hope by the time the rain comes, we're out of here eating lamb in heaven, having a big barbecue. But, you know, either way, I'm okay with it. And you need to be okay with it, either way, because I'm going to tell you something, we're not going to make much difference one way or the other. God's doing it. All we can do is get in with His plan and roll with it. Are you with me? If things get tough, you know what? It's time to see miracles. I can show you places and places and places in the Scripture that God's got. One of the main things God does is multiply food. Jesus tears up the loaves and the fishes and it feeds 5,000. Well, why don't we get to see some of that? I was thinking about this the other day. I said, well, I can just see this. We all say, has anybody got anything to eat? And somebody says, I've got a loaf of bread. And somebody says, I got a can of sardines. So you say, well, I guess open them up. We'll see about multiplying sardines. I hope they're mustard. About the only ones I can eat. Start breaking off, start giving everybody a sardine, everybody gets one. But it just keeps going around, just keeps multiplying, just keeps getting bigger. The loaf of bread, you keep putting your hand in there and pulling out a piece. And you say, well, I don't know. Jesus did it. And if power is increasing, if he can open up blind eyes, he can multiply bread. He did it all throughout the scriptures. The devil even came and challenged him on bread. You see what I'm saying, church, is that our Christianity can't just be some religious service. Our Christianity can't just be like we went to church and we got dressed up and we did that and we did this and so now we're going home. No, I'm talking about a real vibrant living Christianity, a Christianity that we see God move like the Bible says God should move. And the only reason why we don't see God move is because we're not understanding and not by faith walking in what he wants us to walk in. It's that simple. Jesus is not out of the miracle working business. But when there's no faith, and I'm telling you, I walked in church after church after church that no one had any faith. I walked in church after church after church that is going through religious services. And I want to tell you something, we can't do that. We have to come to church with a mindset in our hearts saying, no, we're not just going to church because it's Sunday. We're going to church because we're going to have an encounter with the living God. And that nothing could keep us away from church because we're going to walk through those doors because during praise and worship, the Spirit of the living God is going to come in and touch our hearts and speak to us and tell us what we need to do. Not, well, Laura didn't play the right song this morning. She didn't play my song I liked this morning. Well, preacher, he didn't preach right. You see, then we're going for the wrong reasons. We're supposed to come into the doors of this church to have an encounter with the living God. But what's happened is we just get religious. And I hate religion. I hate it because it kills people. Religion kills people. It stops them from hearing the presence of God or the voice of God and causes them just to hear whatever the dogma is of the church. And we're supposed to have a living, vibrant relationship. You're supposed to get so charged up today that when you walk out the doors and you go home, Jesus is still speaking to you and you're still hearing. We're supposed to get our cups filled today so we go out in the world, slosh and splash off all over everybody. But we got ourselves all too worked up because we've let the devil talk us in and get us condemned about this or condemned about that or over here. And so he gets us all sidetracked and we get all off. And then we're worrying about this and trying to do this and get this and think that the whole world's revolving around us. And then this isn't right. And so we're missing the whole time what God's wanting. And the devil just twists our tail in a knot. And then by Sunday, we're coming back and say, oh, God, help me, Jesus. I ain't going to make it. Me too. I'm telling you, I'm the pastor. I'm preaching truth. I got it. First, how many times during the day that there's an opportunity for me to be distracted? This morning, I'm sitting at the deal trying to get it. My sheep got out, standing out in my front yard, eating everything. I didn't want to go fix the fence this morning. I get out, man. I said, well, okay, Lord, I'm not going to just fly into a rage here and start throwing rocks and cussing like a fool. I'm just going to go get the wire, get the pliers, going to go take a little time, go pray. I had to change my clothes. Everything's all wet, stupid sheep everywhere, dumb dog running around. I had to be the only guy that's got a sheep dog that's always in the wrong place, you know, that idiot. I overcame and made it, you know. But I'm just saying there's 1,000 distractions in your day to get you off focus, and you've got to understand something. This is the thing you're going to hear over and over and over again. You are a very important person. VIPs, you go to any event, sporting event, whatever, and VIPs, they get preferred seating, right? VIP, with the VIP section, you are VIPs. You're very important people to the kingdom of God. with those of y'all that I'm looking at right here, with a little bit of change of things going in here, I can promise you we can fill this church up till there's no seating capacity and build another sanctuary that'll hold 1,000 people. It's going to take some work. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some effort on all of y'all's part, because I can't do it. I can tell you right now, I told the Lord this morning, Lord, if this all falls on my shoulders from what I'm starting out this morning, then you can just forget it. I quit. I've always said I'd never quit, but I quit, Lord. I said, you know, what are you going to do? Throw me out of heaven? You can't throw me out of heaven. You already bought me the price. And so I'm getting in no matter what. I may have to sit at the front gate for a few thousand years, but by God, I'm getting in. You know? Y'all with me? Because there comes a point in time that, I'd just rather ride my Harley. But I just know in my heart, just looking at all of y'all, because let me ask y'all a question here, and then we're going to have communion. Matter of fact, ladies, y'all can go ahead and bring it down. Let me ask you a question here. How many of y'all this morning, and just raise your hand and hold it up, have a friend, just one friend, or a friend, a couple, you know, whatever, but you have a friend that you know that you have some influence in their life, whatever, that does not attend church anywhere? Raise your hand. See, look at this. Now, hold on. Keep your hands up. Let me just give a quick count. Let's see. That's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18. There's 20. Oh, my gosh. I mean, I've got 35 to write here, and I never even got to y'all. Okay? So let's say there's, y'all are raising your hands. Let's say there's 60 people in here this morning saying that. Okay? So if 60 more showed up this morning, if there was y'all plus 60, where are we going to put them? Because I'm counting chairs out there. There's barely 60 chairs out there. See what I'm saying? You see how quickly things could change? You see how quickly you could just turn into in just one group of friends coming to church that then would commit to church, that would catch the idea that then they're going to go out and win another friend, and that just by taking that and then having people. You see, there's. Let me just give you this and I'll quit. I really will. There's three, y'all are going to fall into three classes, okay? The first class, it's not classes, it's not divisions. Here you go. Three divisions. Okay, the first division is simply this. When this place fills up, you go to the book of Acts chapter 6, it took people to wait on everybody to get the food and the distribution of the food. There's a certain amount of y'all that are going to fall into just making everything work. Praise and worship people, ushers, greeters, whatever, Sunday school teachers, that's going to fall into just a certain amount. That's what you have a real gifting and a call to do, and you're going to get effective and get involved in it. Did you know that I went to a church and I couldn't find the front door? I couldn't find the front door. I walked around. I was like, you know? And then I got to thinking to myself, you know, wouldn't it be cool to just have people that stood out in the front of the church? Okay, we have people at the front door. We have ushers in the church. But wouldn't it be cool to have people stand out in the parking lot just telling people where they need to go? But see, we all assume that everybody knows to come here. But I'm telling you, as a visitor walking into the doors of a church, if you drove up on Living Waters Church property, might not know whether to go to the fellowship hall because people might be coming out of Sunday school, and there might be people coming in here, and you may not know where to go because we got no steeple or nothing over here. And wouldn't it be cool just to have that? So you've got a certain amount of people that are going to be doing service work. The second division of people are going to be those people that just raised your hands, that have friends that you're really good at just inviting somebody to come to church. That you'll take the time to go get them, here. It's that simple. You did your job. You in the VIP section, you did your job. You got the person to church. What are you going to have to, you're going to have to become Jesus in their life? No. You want them to know Jesus. So you just brought them to church. And the third person, the third division of people, is going to simply be those people that are gifted and called to go out and, I mean, you can call them pastors, you can call them disciplers, you can call them whatever, to help people in their walk with Jesus to know how to, you know, go on. It can't be done by me. I can't visit everybody. I can't go around everybody. I can't see everybody. I can't. There's no way. But there's going to be a division of people that you know, you have a relationship to go out with people and talk to people and visit with people and encourage people and have Bible studies or do whatever like that to help people find their purpose and go on their way. And y'all all fit in those one of those three categories. And what you're going to do is find great joy in doing what God called you to do. Now, the great thing was is Stephen, in Acts chapter 6, he went out and he was seeing miracles happen all the time, waiting on tables. Because you're serving somebody and they cough, say, oh, what's wrong? Well, I got leukemia here in the name of Jesus. And you're going to say, wow, that was cool. Now, there's going to be some screwballs. Because some people will get goofy. But you don't worry about them. I'll take care of them. I'm serious. That's my job. I'll take care of them. The apostolic anointing of my life, I'll take care of them. We need to have a few Ananias and Sapphira's drop dead in front of the church and get the MS to haul them off. Everybody straighten up. It'll go okay. Things start flying right. I mean, you start seeing the EMS backed up out there at the back, at the side door up there every week, you know. Straighten some stuff up pretty quick. You tell me anybody ever back talked to Peter after Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead? Right? So anyway, don't worry about that. I'll take care of it. But I'm just telling you, it can be an exciting time. 2014 can be an exciting time for us of the things of what God's going to do. It can be an exciting time for your life. But you got to get connected. You got to get hooked in. And I'm going to talk about all that later. There's some good things. Some good things. Because it's going to take some radical dedication on your part. Okay? To make this happen. But it can happen. We'll just be all sitting around here saying. And it's going to be fun. Because I'm going to look and say, wow, what are we going to do now? Jesus, what do you want to do? I mean, I ain't got no more room. I'm going to have to do something. And just watch what happens. God will do it all. Amen? Amen. Well, praise God. This is our communion Sunday. It's our first Sunday. And so if you're a guest here with us this morning, no, man, I'm so glad you're here. I'm glad somebody invited you. I'm glad a friend brought you. Because you didn't just walk in the doors of the church, I don't think. If you did, come talk to me after church. Because I want to know what kind of person you are. I just walked in here. I mean that in a good way. That makes me think of one more thing. It was interesting in how many people, as I begin to, another vein of things that I go and talk to, how many people actually feel like, they don't really say it, but they do say it, that they feel like, here at Living Waters Church, that we're a cult. And I'm like, really? Have you ever come? No, well, they're just things we've heard. Like what? Well, the people up there, you know, pretty wild, pretty crazy, pretty dedicated. Yeah. So you want to go to a church that they're dead? Nothing happens. I mean, I've had some pretty heated arguments. I told some people straight up. I said, man, listen, the reason why you are where you are is because that's where you want to be. You don't want to go any farther in your relationship with Jesus. So you want to play it safe and stay there. So stay there. I don't want you. I mean, I got to be the only pastor in the world that turns people away. Say, man, I don't want you. You know, you're not really serious. You're just going to cause us problems and listen to you whine and cry and say, just stay over there, your little safe place. I don't want to be in a safe place. And y'all have to know me, and don't be worried about it, because my wife will always keep me straight, but I want to be on the front line. If we have to charge, I'd just as soon be the first one shot than be hiding around in the back. Y'all with me? If we're going to go down, I want to go down, you know, Bible and gun in hand. It's the only way. But anyway. So I'm glad you're here. But if you are visiting with us this morning, or a guest, man, you're more than welcome to have communion with us. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, man, you're a part of the body of Christ. And we love you, and we're glad you are a Christian. You're glad you're saved. Glad you know our Jesus. And we want you to know that you can more than happy to have communion with us. If you're in here and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, well, folks, let me tell you something. You're missing the greatest, most exciting time of your life. Things are about to get good. Things are about to be exciting and be fun, and you want to know Jesus. And if you don't, well, listen to me. All you got to do, the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, is just ask Him. He died for us all. He paid a price for us all. You can walk right down that aisle in a minute, stand right there and say, Jesus, I want you to come into my life. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. It's done. It's done. Then you can have your communion for the very first time. And all of heaven's rejoicing. All of heaven's shouting. It's a good day. Amen. And so what I want to do is I want to ask my prayer team and my pastoral team to come down here to help me. I want to serve you communion, and then so you can help me serve everyone else communion. And then our prayer team is going to be up here to pray for you, to pray with you. I believe for miracles, signs, and wonders. I believe that just like when I prayed, that when they pray, it's going to make all the difference in the world and change your life. Amen. And so right now, just begin to look in your heart, church. See where you're at. See what God's doing with you in life. And just get to that place in life that, man, you're going to get excited about the things of God. The Bible tells us on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, He blessed it, He broke it, He gave it to His disciples, and He said, now take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you. Church, listen to me. Jesus went to the cross, suffered all the pain, so that you could walk in victory. His broken body is so that your body can be healed. If you're sick in body today, or you're hurting, or you're brokenhearted, or discouraged in life, listen to me. Right here is your answer. It's this communion with Jesus. Touch your life, touch your heart. All you got to do is ask Him. All you got to do is ask Him. So, Father, we thank You for this bread, that it's life to us. Your body broken for us, Lord. Then He said He took the cup. And after He'd given thanks, He said, and this cup represents a new covenant in My blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Church, you do not have to live in shame and guilt. You don't have to live in condemnation. You can live in victory. Simply repent and ask Him to forgive you, and the forgiveness is right here. It's right here in this cup. So, Lord, we thank You that You forgive us of our sins as we repent and ask You. And we thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name.